This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time here to start the final hour of the show, brought to you, as always, by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with Pelican Brewing's Mexican Lager, Pelicano, bright, crisp, and brewed for good times. It's the ultimate fiesta refreshment. Cinco de Mayo being on Monday totally snuck up on me.
Cinco de Drinko.
What the hell happened, man? Where's the year going?
Yep.
The NFL draft is just right on our heel, right in our rearview mirror. So much was going on. We talked about it at length all week long. One of the biggest things of the draft that happened was the Jags trading from number 5 to number 2 with a general manager who looks like he's a 12-year-old. And then Mike Silver wrote a piece about it, and it was unbelievable. He happened to be behind the scenes in the draft room, and you could go read the entire thing on The Athletic. You can find it on his Twitter account, at Mike Silver, covering the NFL for a long time for The Athletic. Mike, good morning to you. Are we talking like blind luck here that you end up in that draft room? Was it a hunch? How did we know Jacksonville was going to be the newsbreaker of the opening round?
Well, it's never luck. So I would say this. First of all, getting into any draft room is a monumental achievement. I've been lucky enough to do it about 5-6 times. A couple of my colleagues in the business have accomplished it, including Peter King, but it is rare. So, it's not like I sat there with a menu of 32 teams going, well, I think this would be the right spot. I would add to that that I was really intrigued by the Jaguars story, that I sense that they're trying to do something big and bold. There's a reset going on. You've got three people coming in new who seem to be very aligned, and Tony Boselli, who's now the executive VP of football operations, Liam Cohen, the rookie coach, and James Gladstone, the aforementioned GM, who some people think looks like he's 12. So I did think it was a cool story that was a larger story to be written. Now, them trading up to get Travis Hunter on night one was an added bonus, but it was really cool. And I did write a quick story that night, and then a longer one that dropped Tuesday, and people will see in that second one, there was actually a lot of drama on day two as well. So it worked out great.
Yeah, that Tuesday edition was it's one of the best reads I've read. And I love The Athletic, but that was a fantastic write-up by you. And I kind of felt like I was in the corner with a notebook writing things down, like as if I was you watching all of that unfold. What were your other, apologies for not knowing top of my head, you mentioned, I think you said this is the fifth time you've been in a draft room. What are the other four experiences like? What's the most memorable one for you?
It might have been more. Well, when Jeff Fisher took over the Rams, I got in that first year. And then subsequently, I was in the Rams war room several times. Once I was there when Michael Sam was drafted, which was wild, on day three. And that was, so that encompassed my, I was at Yahoo, then NFL Network. So I wrote that one for NFL.com. The last time I was in the Rams war room was when Jared Goff went number one overall. They did that in downtown LA at a courtyard by Marriott. Thanks for asking. It was good. They were kind of setting it all up in LA still. It was wild. But so I saw some really cool things. I did get in the Jaguars war room back in the Dave Caldwell era when they took Dante Fowler with the first overall pick. Uh-huh. That was 10 years ago. That was just for, I was in there for about an hour, but got to see the pick. That was really cool. And then my most recent one was also, before this, was also Jags related, but it was the virtual draft. So I got some virtual access via the app House Party, which somehow is still on my phone, and I don't think I've used it since. I'm kind of old. I might be outside the House Party demo, but it worked that night. It was fun.
Well, could you walk us, because we're all football fans, whether we do media or we're just fans who consume media and love the sport, we all watch this draft, and we go, could I do this job? Could I make a list of players, sit in a room, and then my turn, okay, I'll take the guy I had at the highest on my board. I'm just curious, could you walk us through what it's like to be in this draft room and watch the process unfold? What don't people understand about running and doing a draft?
Well, I mean, I think everyone's like fantasy drafted, so we all think we could, right? It's interesting. Sometimes it feels boring, right? A long time between picks. And I'm not one of those people who does instant draft analysis in terms of, you know, outcome of how good the players are, but I do evaluate process, because if a team goes in with a plan and a clear, you know, approach and executes it the way they want or adjusts on the fly, I give good marks for that. So, you kind of rank them and you say, oh, we're just going to be true to the board. But a lot of times, you know, you do have position needs. You're wondering, other teams have certain needs, who might, you know, trade above you, who might try to, you know, torpedo you. I think what's interesting is, and I do write about this in the story that dropped Tuesday, is people get these draft crushes, right? You're doing this for months and months and months and having so many meetings and overthinking it. And so in this case, Tony Boselli had this draft crush on this offensive lineman from LSU that he really, really wanted. But in the end, they chose between him and another offensive lineman with the 89th pick, Wyatt Milam from West Virginia. The offensive line coach, the GM, the coach were skewing that way a little. So Boselli took one for the team there, but he did have to give up his draft crush, who two picks later, the Ravens took off the board. And the Ravens are like the classic team that just picks value and lets the board come to them a lot. So, it's fun when it happens in real time. The other thing I think, fans might not appreciate is, you know, we see the clock ticking, and, you know, there's a very real consequence if you don't get the pick in. I think it was about 20 plus years ago, maybe 2003, the Vikings famously thought they had a trade worked out with the Ravens. There was a snafu with the communication with the league. They got bypassed they had the 7th overall pick. They got bypassed by the 8th and 9th team quickly before they could recover and put in the card. So the embarrassment and the loss of draft position, you really don't want time to run out. So, you know, a lot of times you're waiting as the clock goes, because a late trade offer might come in, or you're considering one still. And there are other options. In the story I wrote, the Jags had worked out a trade with the Lions where they were going to trade down from 70. The communication with the league office, I would say it was on the league side, something went wrong and it was taking a really long time. And with about a minute and a half on the clock, Brad Holmes calls James Gladstone and he's like, hey, do we have a deal? And it was a fair phone call, because in each case, it's not just, oh, I have 90 seconds to put the pick in. You have to call the player in question that you're drafting. And that's I don't know if people know this, but that's an NFL thing. You know, usually the cliche is to make sure they're not dead. That's a little over dramatic, but you've spent months and months and months. You have a lot invested in this. You want to hear the person's voice. It's not just for show, like, hey, you're going to be a Jaguar. It's like, hey, we want to know that you're like of sound being and, you know, you didn't break your legs. Like, so with a minute and a half, jeez, Brad Holmes and James Gladstone are on the phone, and one of them has to call, you know, whichever player that guy's going to pick, get him on the phone and then get the ticket. So it could get kind of tense as the clock winds down.
God, it's fascinating. Mike Silver is our guest. Go follow him on Twitter at Mike Silver. He's got a piece in The Athletic, being behind the scenes with the Jags for their draft this past weekend and everything that went into it. And it's a fascinating read as he's given us a little bit of behind the scenes of what it's like to be in that room. And, you know, I make the joke about Gladstone in the way that, you know, he looks and how old he looks, but there is, I think, a thing that resonates with us. We started our radio careers very young, and a lot of people thought, oh, you know, mid-20s, nobody's going to take you seriously. That age thing is a part of it. I remember when Sean McVay was hired as the head coach originally of the Rams, and you're like, this guy's 32 years old. What the hell are they thinking? And now he looks like a genius.
30,
that's
30.
Right. Thank you. So yeah. Even younger than that. So there is an intrigue there of, like, is this guy really, is he a wunderkind? Is he, like, this boy genius who's coming up? As you watch him interact with other GMs, he's pulling out these phone calls. Just what are some of the traits and the things that stand out from experiencing such a young general manager that you just don't see very often in the NFL?
Well, so far I would say one thing that I've noticed with James Gladstone is he's not afraid to throw himself out there, which, you know, is going to cause some resentment in the ranks, I think, but also, you know, he's got some swag to him. And so that's not always going to translate well. And we saw Shedeur Sanders, the swag obviously wasn't, you know, super well received, which was regrettable. But in the case of Travis Hunter and James Gladstone, the swag was, you know, applauded. So I don't know. I like the swag. I like that he, you know, and he's doing it a little unconventionally. Like he tries to run his draft or to present his draft board more along the lines of a coach's call sheet with, like, kind of categories and little reminders and alerts. And he also had a little laminated mini card in his pocket of 31 guys that were kind of like the guys he really thought, based on round and position, that they, you know, they wanted to pay special attention to. And 8 of the 9 guys they got were on that sheet. So by his standard, you know, it went well. But I think, you know, he's not a guy who's going to shy away from not just throwing it out there, but trying to be great. And, it, you know, that doesn't mean he'll always get the best players. And certainly you can get the roster you want and the ball bounces weird or, you know, it's not coached well, whatever. But I think he's got a chance to make some noise. And I think more significant, the Jaguars have had this, you know, horrific run. Urban Meyer obviously being the low point, but, you know, some really, really rough years, you know, with 2 exceptions, you know, since Shad Khan bought the team in 2011. And I think they have a chance now to try to craft it in a different way. And they're not being subtle about it. They're getting after it.
I want to ask you a Shedeur question, and I know that's probably something you've been asked about a lot. I know you covered the Jags draft. I am curious very quickly, though, Mike, like, when you're in that room, maybe this is a tell-all book at the end of your career when you don't care anymore about people being mad at you. How often do these teams, like, audibly react to teams making questionable picks? Like, do you hear and feel teams, like, laughing? Are they gasping? Does that happen in the draft room?
I mean, it's happened. I'm trying to think back to this current draft. You know, one interesting reaction in the Jags war room was they kind of in the middle of the round, some of the people, it wasn't a very populated room as draft rooms go, probably a dozen people, but a couple of people started talking about the Ravens and, like, watch, they're just going to sit there and the perfect guy for the Ravens is going to fall to them right there, like always. It's going to be right there on the board. Watch how they do this. They're the best. And, like, sure enough, the safety is there at, 27. And they're like, watch what happens. And just, sure enough, they turn in the card and they're like, classic Baltimore Ravens. They just got the best guy for them. So that was kind of cool just to see the admiration. And then interestingly, after the draft, I debriefed with Eric DaCosta, their great general manager, over text, and he hadn't read the story yet, but he kind of begrudgingly admitted that the Jags had snagged a couple of guys that he wanted to, which, you know, I don't think is normal. So that was kind of cool to hear his side of it. But yeah, no, certainly they react. And listen, I think the Shador thing, it's portrayed as this like, haha, the NFL taught him a lesson. But at least what I experienced via text and witnessing their draft room was, it didn't feel like that at all. It felt more like, yeah, it's not, we don't want it for us. It's not right. But like, damn, that poor kid. And when he did finally get off the board in the fifth round, I don't know if it was like flat out applause, but people seemed happy in the Jags war room. Like, okay, good. That poor kid finally, got on a team. So I do think it is overstated, this whole like, this guy, we're going to show him that, he's not he's too cocky for the NFL. I think it's, some of it was some people didn't like his tape. There's other stuff out there, but I do think it's going to go down as a more regrettable chapter. And I think there was an awareness around the league that it was a bad look for the league overall. And, somebody had to step up and stop the bleeding.
Great stuff. What do you make of coaches' sons getting their organization and coach fired $250K and $100K? You ever seen that before?
No, I know Jeff Ulbrich really, really well. It's just, man, I'm really torn on this one because I really feel for Shador. I think he's a better kid than people realize. I know Jeff Ulbrich really well. I know what an idiot I was at 21. And I also am a huge fan of prank calls and have a long storied history, sometimes with NFL players, of doing prank calls. But that particular prank seemed, a little cruel in the moment. Putting it on the internet or putting it on social media is an interesting choice too. But that's a lot of money, man. And listen, I have a kid. One of my kids is in his mid-20s and he's on the radio in San Francisco. So I totally get what you guys are saying. But if he ever did anything like that to me, can you imagine like how many times he'd have to wash my car and other, assorted things? That would be rough.
Gladstone getting prank called. How'd you get the number? Oh, my dad, his cell phone was open.
He's in your room right now. He happens to be in your draft room. He's over there in the corner.
I'll tell you one thing, like the unsecured iPad thing, that seems like, I don't know, man. The kid was in Mississippi. I feel like he had cloud access. I know how technologically, dubious I am. So I feel like, it's possible now that my kids, I'm thinking, like, have access to all my stuff, and I just didn't know.
The cloud confuses us all, Mike.
That
it's
was
okay.
A joke.
We are all there. I'm right there with you. And now we're going to have to rebook an interview for this summer to hear just stories about you prank calling NFL players. That will be the follow-up interview.
You're going to have to get Chris Cooley, the former Washington tight end, involved and some other former NFL players on that call too, because I'm not taking it alone.
I love it. Mike Silver, go check out his great reporting, man. It's one of the more enjoyable. If you're into draft stuff and following this and how teams operate and all that, no matter how you feel about the Jags, it's a great read on The Athletic. Yay, journalism. It still exists. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Silver. We genuinely appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for the time here in Portland, and hopefully again we can do this soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
There you go. Mike Silver talking some NFL football, prank calling NFL players.
I almost ended it with, hey, Mike, is your refrigerator running? Well, you better go catch it.
You better go get it. Go get it, Mike. Man, it really was. Like, it's a great read. And the thought of Jags doing what they did, they were an interesting story going in. But boy, oh boy, when you kind of rolled the dice of like, let's go into Jacksonville, see what happens. And then they got this trade cooked up for the number 2 overall pick. It worked out great for him. And it's fascinating. The behind-the-scenes stuff for draft rooms is just, I think we all dream of being in one of those rooms. We all like to think that we could do that job. We see the movie Draft Day. We run our fantasy drafts. Like, what's it like, man, to be on the phone?
I'd love to just sit in and watch.
Just to, like, watch and observe.
I'd want it for the NBA. Not as many rounds.
A little bit quicker.
Quicker turn and burn.
One night. It's not a Thursday, Friday, Saturday for 38 hours.
Cronin, let me sit in the corner, dude.
Come on, Joe.
Come on, I won't spill no secrets.
We're homies. Your secrets are safe with us. We'll see what's going on over there. Thanks again to Mike Silver, the Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with Pelican Brewing's Mexican Lager Pelicano, bright, crisp, and brewed for good times. The ultimate fiesta refreshment.
Feliz Navidad!
Oh, yeah.
Feliz Navidad!
Well, spring the line coming up, bottom of the hour. Can we win parlays in back-to-back weeks? What do we cook up this weekend? We'll do that in 10 minutes. We're back after this on The Fam.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we'll see what we cook up for this weekend, parlay-wise. We had asked a question in the last hour about Mike Trout making comps to other players. We got some good ones texted in that
Did
I
we?
Wanted to get to, yeah.
Yeah, are they football or are they different sports?
All over the map a little bit. We got some football, some NBA guys. One person asking, is this the thing people will say about Damian Lillard when his career is done?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? He does have playoff moments, and Mike Trout never had a playoff moment.
No, he didn't. Dame has the playoff moments, made it more consistently. I understand it's easier to make it in basketball than baseball. I think it's a tough thing to explain the difference. I just don't think that they're the same.
Yeah, okay.
Is Damian Lillard put in a category
that's the difference,
that
yeah.
Mike Trout is? And I think of all-time talent, I don't think Dame is.
He was never considered on a trajectory to be maybe one of the best we've ever seen. He was an elite player, maybe the best in the history of the organization, but never on that level.
Now, I got an off-the-beaten-path one that I want to throw out.
Okay, what do you got?
Before you rattle them off. What is the tennis player's name who isn't Nadal, Djokovic, or Federer, but I think he won one major?
Who,
Andy Murray?
Andy Murray.
I think he's in Andy Murray.
Andy Murray.
He will never be talked about because of his era, but...
He was overshadowed by all these other guys, but had great talent.
And maybe Trout is in that conversation if he just decides, you know, my franchise sucks, I'm going to go to one that's good.
Maybe win a couple of World Series at the end of the day.
Would
day.
Would have changed everything.
Grant Hill, I thought, was a pretty good one.
Yeah,
Grant Hill to me is
Grant Hill's a really good
I don't know
one.
I can't remember exactly what the conversations were about him in terms of the overall pantheon of where he would rank, but he was an elite player.
Yeah.
And just couldn't stay healthy at the end, and it just kind of collapsed, and he never did a lot in the playoffs that I remember. Maybe he did with Detroit.
So then he's a Penny Hardaway as well.
It's a Penny Hardaway is very similar. Where you're like, dude, look where this could be going. Oh, my God. And then it disappears. Ricky Williams got texted in for the NFL.
That's a really good one.
I like the Ricky Williams one. Brandon Roy, but again, I think that's more of a local angle there where I don't know if Roy was ever quite on that level, but a great player.
Yeah.
Definitely a player you say what if for. He was, yeah.
I just don't think Roy had... What year is this for Trout, you said? It's like year
12, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there.
Yeah, somewhere in there. I'll pull it up.
Roy just didn't have the longevity.
No.
But he does have those clips.
Again, I think it's about... We never talked about Brandon Roy as one of the greatest players in the history of the NBA.
When this dude started for the Angels, people were saying this about Trout.
His rookie year, so he played 40 games in 2011, then his first full season in the bigs was 2012.
What were his numbers his first year?
He hit 326 with 30 home runs and 83 RBIs. Yeah, the next year, he hit 323 with 27 and 97. Then he hit 287 with 36 home runs, 111 RBIs. 299, 41 home runs, 90 RBIs. 315, 29 home runs, 100 RBIs. 306, 33 home runs, 72 RBIs. It goes on all the way until 2019. He hit 291 with 45 home runs and 104 RBIs. This guy from 2012 to 2019 went on one of the best stretches we have ever seen in the history of the sport.
But we didn't.
That's how good he was.
Because they weren't on TV.
But they weren't on TV. And I think they only made the playoffs once in that stretch, if I'm not mistaken. That was in 2014. They got swept. And then after that, he played 53 games, 36 games, back to 119 in 22, and he had a pretty good year. And then 82 games, 29 games, and then 29 games so far.
The craziest thing I can tell you, aside from just I'll never talk about him when he's done playing, is that also when he retires officially, I will look back and say, I don't think I watched more than 20 games of his entire career.
It's pretty sad, but you're not wrong. Because unless you're watching Angels games or your team's playing the Angels, you're not going to watch them.
And I'd see, you know, part an inning or two of the Mariner-Angel game.
Yeah, or a Sunday night baseball game randomly.
I went to two Angels games. I've seen him play twice in person. I think he was 1-for-3 in one game and 0-for-3 in another. Like, he didn't really do all that much of the games I went to.
That's all you got, man.
So, like, if you didn't see anything incredible in person and you didn't have Angels, like, extra innings, when did you watch them play?
Yeah, not very often. They weren't in the playoffs a lot. I like those comps, though. I think Grant Hill is probably the most accurate run. I don't know if we talked about Grant Hill as one of the greatest in the history of the league, but he was certainly in a pantheon of what he did at Duke, going into the league, face of a franchise, like this guy could be a generational star.
His entire skill set package.
Everything. He had the size. Athlete, he could shoot. Yeah. He's a good defender. Like, he could do literally everything on a basketball floor.
So here's his rookie. So this is his rookie year in Detroit. He played 70 games. He averaged 19-5-6.
As a rookie.
He was the rookie of the year that year.
Yeah.
Year two, he made All-NBA second team and was an All-Star in his rookie year.
I mean, that's
pretty impressive. Year, he averaged 20 points, 7 assists, damn near 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
His third year was 21-7-9, 21-7-7, 21-6-7, 25-6-5. And then it just completely cratered after the 99-2000 season.
Yeah, just wasn't the same. He ended up playing for a long time, though, didn't he? Didn't he hang on for a while?
He hung on there. Yeah, I mean, he had some Orlando. He got signed by Orlando, and then he was injured in Orlando forever. Then he had those resurgence years in Phoenix.
That's right, the Phoenix
the seven
years.
Seconds or less Phoenix Suns teams.
Yes, that's right. But just never the same player.
No, he was largely a defensive guy who just spot up shot.
Yeah, knocked down a three here or there. I think Grant Hill is probably the best comp. Let's get to Sprague in the line. Did you know we hit a parlay last week? We're cooking with gas.
Yeah.
We're on a heater.
Are we going to cook with more gas?
I think we're putting more gas.
Okay.
We're putting more gas on the fire. We're going to throw some propane on that fire. Let's go. Let's cook with some gas. We'll spray the line. Get your fake sponsors in. 503-864-6326. We'll do some gambling. We'll do it next.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Spraggin' the line.
Can't believe we're doing this.
Spraggin' the line. Spraggin' the line.
Spraggin' the line.
Spraggin' the line.
Spraggin' the line brought to you by Saucy Mama, a.k.a. Swag.
Swag, Saucy Mama. That's what they call him now.
Need to get him a barbecue apron. It says Saucy Mama. Spraggin' the line brought to you by Dirt. Even he can't interpretate what the hell Sprague's thinking with his picks.
I gave us the winners last week.
Hey, we all teamed up on that.
I don't think we did. I think you checked the tape. I gave you the winners.
And you get to try and interpretate
straight
claiming
NBA.
A win. Just claiming a win.
I got a good one this week.
Spring and Lime brought to you by Weird Animal Facts. Tasting giraffe pee for hormones is still more appealing than a Sprague pick.
I had one that I was going to do
today. Giraffe pee smells like...
not good, Bob.
You think so?
What does it taste like?
Yeah, what does it taste like?
I've got one about an octopus next Monday.
Oh.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Sprague and Lime brought to you by Swag's feelings towards sex toys, just as ambiguous as Sprague's gambling logic.
Swagalicious.
Not necessarily. He got tickled last night.
By what?
Yeah,
you
don't
get tickled? Did you get tickled last night? A little tickle? A little tickle?
Sprague and Lime brought to you by the DDPC. We'll float your boat and stuff you full of wieners.
Right, we will.
Shout out to the DDPC. Still riding hard. When you look at the board this weekend, gentlemen, as we build our parlay,
yes,
what stands out the most to us? We got one game in the Stanley Cup playoff tonight, game 6 in St. Louis. They are hosting the Winnipeg Jets with a chance. Winnipeg does have a chance to eliminate them in advance of the second round. You have a game 7 tomorrow in Dallas between the Avalanche and the Stars.
Taking the Avs on the road.
Ooh, you like the Avs on the road? NBA, you got Rockets and Warriors tonight. Warriors are a 5-point favorite. And then obviously game 7 tomorrow in Denver, followed by game 1 between Indiana and Cleveland on Sunday. Those are your main betting lines, unless you want to go off the beaten path and do a little baseball or download the Horsey app, which people are telling us that we evidently can do here.
I guess you can.
That's just too much time and effort.
I'd rather just watch the race, say I saw the race, and then move on. I got a parlay here.
Okay? What you got?
It's a four-pick parlay.
A four-leg parlay.
Plus 1,000.
Oh.
Juicy.
Juicy.
Ready?
Ready.
Warriors minus the 5. Moneyline Nugs. I think they win game 7.
Okay.
At home.
You like Jokic. Moneyline, not minus 1?
Maybe I did. Oh, it's minus 1. Sorry.
Minus 1.
Minus 1 Nugs.
because the odds are slightly better in your favor gambling-wise. I then took the Panthers in game one straight up in Toronto.
That I don't believe is until Monday, but that's okay.
Well, I'm just getting ahead of it.
Yeah.
And I took the Avs for my neighbor's sake to win game seven on the road. Money line, four-pick parlay, plus a 1,000.
Four-pick parlay. Okay. Yep. Swag, what do you like this weekend?
I, too, will go with the weekend playoff four-leg parlay. This play pays plus 1145.
Ooh.
I like the Nuggets minus one, the Dubs minus five. I'll take the Jets on the money line today and the Avalanche on the money line tomorrow.
Okay. I look at this parlay. We're all going separate ways here. I do like the Warriors tonight. I think the Warriors win going away tonight.
They don't want to go back to Houston.
No.
They're going to empty the tank for this one tonight.
Yeah, I think you get a Steph game. Jimmy Butler will be better. Houston had their last-ditch effort in Game 5 and found a way to win, shot the lights out of the ball. I think Golden State wins tonight.
One of their reserves to have a night, too, whether it's somebody else will get loose.
I do like Denver tomorrow, which is now concerning because I think did we all put Denver in there for tomorrow?
We did. There's no trust in the Clips in Game 7 on the road.
It's Jokic, right? He's pretty damn good. Yeah. I am going to take the Avs tomorrow. In game seven on the road, I do like the Avs.
Dallas didn't like that extra empty netter at the end.
They kind of piled on a little bit there at the end. I
appreciate that.
And I believe the Avs, if I'm not mistaken, since they won the Cup in 22, have only won one playoff series. So it's not like the last couple of years have gone.
They're the Giannis of the NHL.
A little bit, yeah, right. You win and then kind of not a lot in the next 2 years. So that, you know, hasn't been great. I am going to take the Blues, though, at home. That's the games tonight,
right? You're fading the Jets, huh?
I think the Jets will win game seven.
You're feeling Joe Boo?
I'm feeling Joe Boo. That to me, has anybody won on the road yet in that series? I think we got all home ice dubs so far, if I'm not mistaken, because Winnipeg was 2-0.
Yeah.
St. Louis won the next two, and then Winnipeg won game five. Now they're back in St. Louis.
I think Hellebuck's going to dial it in for this one. He got embarrassed those two games in St. Louis.
Plus 1062 parlay. You think you should win the Hart Trophy?
I think that's a tough one, man.
I think it's tough.
I think the race for the Hart Trophy, every year it comes down.
What do you make of the other finalists? What do you think?
Well,
who do you think should win it?
I think,
who's your favorite? There's three of them. I mean, Hellebuck's obviously one.
Some would argue four should have been in this, but you always got to cut it down to the three. They have to stand out amongst. Look, Hellebuck.
You want a final three? I mean,
the way to go. You know what I mean?
Hella getting your vote. He's getting hella votes for
this
award.
My vote, hella.
Hella getting votes.
Pulling a hamstring yet?
You stretching over there? You like him more than Leon Draisaitl?
Dude, Draisaitl is phenomenal.
Can you name? Can we test a little bit of hockey knowledge here quickly?
Bring it on, bitch.
So the Hart Memorial Trophy is like
the
MVP.
The best goaltender in hockey.
No, that's the Vezina Trophy.
Yes.
Well, usually I'm just saying the goaltender. People look
goaltenders
at it as like
don't usually win the Hart Trophy because they have it's like a pitcher winning the MVP in baseball. Doesn't happen very often because there's
that's
also a Cy Young.
That's what I said. It's rare for a goalie to
so
do it.
So Connor Hellebuck is one finalist.
Yeah.
He had an unbelievable year this year.
Who could forget?
For the Winnipeg Jets. Yes. He is playing tonight on the road.
Yep.
Leon Draisaitl is a finalist. Do you know who Leon Draisaitl plays for?
I didn't come here to take a test. I know who Leon Draisaitl plays for.
He's still in the playoffs. He is in the second round.
Yes.
Care to take a shot?
Absolutely.
Okay. Tarps off, Edmonton Oilers.
That's what I just said.
And Nikita Kucherov is also a finalist.
I love Kucherov. Nikita
Kucherov.
That is his name.
It could be Winikita. You know what I mean? Who knows? Who knows what his new nickname will be if he wins that Hart Trophy?
I love how we all take like the Avs too, and then a listener tweets us: the Avs are 0-6 in their last game sevens. Peter DeBoer's 8-0 in game sevens, including 3-0 against the Avs. So you know we got a lot of history.
If the Maple Leafs can overcome
that, means they're due. Damn it, they're due.
The Avs are overcoming the history.
Look, I think the Hellebuck Kucherov battle is one to be closely monitoring.
Let's hold on real quick.
Could be one of the closest votes in NHL
history. I mean, it's
going to
be tight. It's going to be a tight vote there. It's going to be a tight vote. Let me look up real quick before we go here and wrap it up.
The way that they ice that puck. Oh, my God.
Can you believe the icings?
The best players.
A lot of icings out there, man. Your odds, let me try and find this.
Draisaitl's such a good stick man, too.
He's a good stick man. Yes, he is. Your favorite in the Kentucky Derby is journalism, as Swag mentioned, 3-1.
Journalism's done.
Isn't that a hell of a name?
He better not break his leg. It's going to be
a lot of horsies running in this thing. We got 21
horses. Yeah, they
got horses.
19. There 19 was one scratch. Baffert's a...
Baffert's
I don't know
horse.
If it's Grand or Grande.
Okay, we got Citizen Bowls in there.
That's
Final
name.
Gambit is a 30-1.
Okay.
American Promise, 30-1. Admire Daytona, 30-1. Luxor Cafe, 15-1. Uh-huh. Burnham Square is a 12-1, so not bad. Grande, as you point out, 20-1.
He's a scratch.
He's okay. He's
that's
out.
That's Baffert's out, horse yeah. that got scratched.
Flying Mohawk, 30-1.
Oh,
East Avenue, 20-1.
How does Flying Mohawk not get rooted?
Not
for
only is there a journalism, there's also a publisher at 20-1.
Really?
Tiztastic?
Tiztastic?
Ooh.
You don't know Tiztastic?
20-1.
Look up his stats. Look up whose dad was. You'd be shocked.
Render Judgment, 30-1. Coal Battle, 30-1. The Sandman, now you see me, now you don't, 6-1.
Yes.
Sovereignty, 5-1. Chunk of Gold, 30-1. Owen Almighty, 30-1. And Beza?
Sure. Okay. Sovereignty, I've heard that name before. I think that horse has been around a little bit.
You think they've been around a little bit?
I think there's a reason he's 5-1.
Who do we like in the, and we all watch horse racing. We'll
you
all
realize that
it.
The Kentucky Derby only has 2-year-olds.
That's why I said a couple years.
2-year-olds, dude?
Yeah.
2-year-olds?
I said a couple
horses.
Years. They're young horses.
2-year-old horses. I know. That's it.
You can't be older than 2 and run in the Kentucky Derby?
No.
What?
Yeah,
that's
an
why there's never
you know?
Been a repeat. You ever figured out why there's not a repeat champion?
Well, that's such a dumb rule. Why would you only allow young horses?
The new blood.
Just new blood only?
That's you didn't know that rule.
So somebody wins the Kentucky Derby, they can't come
they can't
back
repeat.
And claim
no,
their title?
No. It's not allowed.
What about a one-year-old? What if a one-year-old wins
that's
it?
Why the no. Triple Crown
you
is.
You have to be two specifically.
Yes, that's why the Triple Crown is the Triple Crown.
That is so
you gotta
stupid.
You got to win it all or you can't win it at
this
all.
This is what's holding horse racing back. What about Secretariat wins the Kentucky Derby? We're not going to let him back in the race next year?
No, you can win Breeders' Cups over and over
oh,
and over
that
again,
is so dumb.
Once
it's a different circuit, yeah. though, so you're
this
not allowed.
This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my entire life.
That's crazy you didn't know that rule.
Only 2-year-olds. Why two? Not why not three? What's it about 2-year-olds?
Do I look like an equine vet?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
I saw a horse.
What do they call the horse dancing thing?
That's dressage.
You seem like you could have dressaged a little bit in Lake Oswego.
No.
I took an animal science classes at Oregon State.
I am
State.
Not natural on a horse.
Not natural
we
on
went
a horse.
To the horse farm for yeah. the campus and quite literally pulled up in our vans as they got the horse mounted for the specimen.
Boy, it's impressive, huh?
It saw went the, to
saw the
town
breeding.
On that glove.
Yeah.
It's big. It was
it's big.
Massive.
It's big.
Wow. Talk about foot long.
They got a lot of specimen out of that. A
lot
thing.
Of specimen out of that.
That thing. Its gums were out. You know what I mean?
There you go.
You know.
This is what you come here for?
I felt bad for the lady, too, because she was the one having to hold the...
Dude, you imagine trying to hold on to that
You
got to
hold the contraption as they're...
Yeah.
Horsing. He wasn't, too. I was a seasoned vet.
Sprague in the line every Friday at 8:30. Good luck winning your wages.
We'll
this
see
weekend.
If our votes for the Hart Trophy come in accurately.
We'll see. I mean, it's going to be a close contest.
Hellebuck might have been a long shot, but man, the way he closed that season.
Let's wrap you up on a Friday. We'll do it next on The Fan. There you go. Fist bumping your way into the weekend every single Friday. But NBA news close out the show today.
Yeah, breaking news.
Not a surprise.
No.
I think we all kind of saw this coming. He was in the news for health-related reasons again here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, fall.
Greg Popovich is no longer going to be the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. He's going to move into a front office role. What are they calling him? The team president?
Team president. Full-time to team president.
Full-time team president. Yeah. And so the Spurs will need a new head coach. Maybe they just promote who's their interim guy?
Mitch Johnson.
Mitch Johnson Mitch has been coaching Johnson? The team. Yeah.
Maybe they give the job to Mitch Johnson. Maybe they go somewhere else. I don't know. But Greg Popovich and his legendary coaching career has officially come to an end in the NBA.
Yeah, and the Spurs have already been mentioned this morning by Brian Windhorst as if they move up in the draft, watch them for Giannis. I mean, if you're Milwaukee and you know what this is and you get the second pick or the first pick in the draft,
yeah,
I can't think of a better way to restart my organization if I lose Giannis.
Taking one of those guards.
I don't think
they take Flag if they get the number one pick, don't they? They keep
Who?
It. The Spurs.
If you get number one, you take Flag. You take Flag over Giannis?
If they can get Giannis, I think they would take Giannis. They would. Would they not be like a top five favorite to win it next year?
They would. How
Wimby
old is Giannis?
Fox and Giannis?
I know.
I think Giannis is 31.
Well, and look, we all love Cooper Flagg on this show, but it's not a guarantee that he's going to be a lead in the NBA. That is an absolute question mark. Giannis. Giannis just turned 30.
Yeah, I mean, he's just 30 years old. Well, you would take Flagg over having Giannis?
So you imagine you get another 6-7 years at least kind out of that, or take. 5 to 6 years out of that?
I just wonder, like, if they get the second or third pick, then, yeah, you include him with whoever to get
Giannis. You're just thinking timeline? Because Wemby's incredibly young. Cooper Flagg would be young. Just build it that way?
Is that not a Robinson-Duncan situation?
Seems like Giannis and Wemby seem like it would be
a young, you know.
The guy who's been around.
I think if you get, though, the one pick and it is Flagg, that you... You think about it a little harder. If you get two or three, then
what would
it's
you
a
decide?
No-brainer.
Yeah, the number
I don't
one
know.
Pick.
I
That's
don't
a really
know.
Tough one.
Is this really? I know what Giannis is.
Yeah, I do too. I mean,
you
I know.
Imagine watching him and Wemby on the court at the same time. It'd blow my mind.
It'd be incredible.
And then you've got De'Aaron Fox, because I assume you could keep him.
Yeah.
And then whatever else you didn't have to give the Bucks with that pick and picks.
Yeah, with Cooper Flagg, will he ever average 30 points, 12 rebounds, and 6.5 assists a game in the NBA?
Whose stats are you reading? Giannis?
Those are Giannis's numbers
he
this year.
He won a title. Stop. Like, this isn't...
No, I'm saying, will Cooper Flagg ever reach that... Will he ever reach that level?
Maybe. I don't know. One's won a championship.
He has, yeah. Yeah, I would trade
thinking about this. I'm going with Giannis.
I would trade it for sure. But it's just the thought of timeline
I'm
that
too
makes
in the
you
bubble.
Think about it.
All these non-NBA people, I think, would go Cooper Flagg.
It's the Great White Hope, man. Get the Great White Hope down there in Texas. Wild to think of Greg
He's
Popovich
perfect for them.
Not coaching in the NBA
He
anymore,
doesn't
too.
Care about your market size. He is everything you would want as a soundbite. I just would want Wemby to have him. Not that Cooper Flagg's not, but I don't know. I wouldn't hesitate.
Yeah, if they get that top three pick, too, it's just going to be depressing, because that should have been our draft pick. Should have been our odds had we done the right thing in the second half of the year.
If Phoenix hits within the top four, they're the other team, Wemby said, watch out, because the Rockets will be able to trade that pick.
Yes.
Plus add the young players.
And him
stuff.
Going to Houston makes a ton of sense, too.
Yes.
And you got some older vets with bigger contracts that you can make it match and find a way to navigate it.
And now you
got
to deal with another team in the West who is already better than you this year, adding Giannis to their rotation. But
that's cool.
We won 10 of 11.
We did win 10 of 11.
Probably going to re-sign Anthony Simons, and Denny Avdia's contract decreases.
We also already have our superstar.
You're right.
We just don't know who it is yet.
It'll emerge next year.
We'll find it out relatively soon.
And Shaden will be a great sixth man, and Scoot will be a fantastic backup point guard.
What a weekend it's going to be in sports. Does the WNBA begin this weekend too, or is that preseason?
This is preseason. All preseason.
Okay,
stuff.
It's all aired. It's never all been aired before.
It's all on TV. I saw a release on that. When is the Duck game?
That is Monday, May 12th.
Okay, so a week from Monday?
It's the draft lottery day.
Yeah, draft lottery day. So you get the draft lottery, and then we will air that game here on The Fan.
Fun little day
Sabrina
right there.
Coming back to Eugene to play a Japanese team.
A Japanese
pretty
team,
cool event.
In Eugene.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
Enjoy it, too, because there's probably going to be a work stoppage.
Oh, yeah.
They're collecting.
Last year of the CBA, right? And then this season is when it's all up, and they're going to have to renegotiate that deal.
Look, it's early. A lot could change. They might miss a season for this.
Didn't they just ink their long TV deal not too long ago?
Yes.
Am I not mistaken on that?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's the tough part here, is that if you could get can we get a redo on that? With the growing popularity of the sport? We trying that again, but none of the networks are going to do that because they got great deals. It's like the ACC.
They're
like,
we're not
going to give you $40 million a year. We got you for $25 million a year. You're locked into this deal for the next 10 years. So yeah, I saw that they were starting this weekend. So
I got
my
league pass.
You got your WNBA league pass ready to go?
Yeah, I don't have Amazon though, and there's games that are.
You'll be back.
I'm probably going to be back within the next month. It sucks.
It's going to happen. Once they get you by the balls with the sports rights.
But I'm not shopping them anymore.
No, that's good.
I'm not shopping
just
their stuff.
Just use it to watch the things.
Yeah,
watch the things. Well, it should be a great little weekend in sports, man. Stanley Cup playoffs. We got a Game 7 tomorrow night. We got a Game 7 in the NBA playoffs. Do we get more Game 7s? We'll find out later tonight. Houston and Golden State. Winnipeg and St. Louis. It's going to be a fun weekend, man. Can't wait. That will do it for us. Thank you so much for being a part of our Friday. If you missed it, we had Mike Silver on. Great stuff from him on the behind the scenes of the Jags drafting Travis Hunter number 2 overall. Go check that out, 1080thefan.com, at Turton Sprague on Twitter, and at 1080thefan. Thanks everybody for watching on YouTube. Like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet, and that will do it for us. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.